Today's Shir Mishneh Berurah Yomi is Daf Tzadi Vov Omud Aleph, and we begin with the last word on Tzadi Hei Omud Beis. We're still in Simen Samach Aleph, although Mitzvah Hashem we will finish it today, Hilchos Kriyat Shema, and we're at Sif Chof Beis. And the Mechaber writes, Af B'Psuki D'Zimra U'B'Tfila Tzorich L'Daktik B'Kach. All the things that we talked about at the end of yesterday, how one should be medakdek in the proper pronunciation of each of the words in the Shema, it's not a din just in Kriya Shema. But in fact, the Pesukah de Zimra and the Shemoneh Esrei, one should also be extremely careful about pronouncing each word correctly. The Ramah adds, and he says, Hagah, the Uwadin Akori B'Torah, B'Neviim U'B'Ksuvim. Likewise, whenever one reads any of the Parshios in the Torah, the Haftorahs or the Ksuvim, the Megillos, etc., one should read them properly. And he says, Yesh li zar, one should be careful to do this in the way that we just mentioned, with the proper pronunciation, the proper trop, the proper accents, etc. The Mishneh Berurah in Sif Katan Lamed Hey writes, the lo is hira al kriyashma, ela mishum shemesura lakol, v'yesh bo yichud shamayim. So if this is true for all of the different things that we mentioned, that one has to be careful with the pronunciation, why did the Mechaber specifically only mention this din here by Kriya Shema and then say, yeah, and it applies every place else as well? So the Mishneh Berurah explains is because Kriya Shema is something that everybody says. Not everybody reads the Torah. Not everybody reads the Megillot. Not everybody says all of the other parts of the davening. But Shema, everyone can say, even the biggest Am Haaretz. And therefore, it is given to everybody, and therefore why the caution and the warning over here, the exhortation, was given by Shema. Furthermore, it has Yichud Shemaim, it has Kabbalah Somach Shemaim, and the recognition that Hashem is one, so it's such an important tefillah. So that is why the Mechaber specifically gave us this exhortation over here to pronounce it properly by the Shema. Sif Chav Gimel. The Mechaber writes, Tzorich Ledakdik, one should be careful as well, Shelo Yirafa HaChazuk, not to soften a hard sound, Velo Yichazek HaRafa, and not to harden, harsh, a soft sound. Velo Yaniach Hanod, Velo Yaniach Hanoch. And likewise, don't make the word that should be pronounced with the shva, with the ih sound, to be pronounced as the quiet sound. And the one that's supposed to have the quiet sound, the noch sound, should be the ih sound. For example, the Mishneh Berurah in Sif Katan Lamed Vav writes, shva hanechtefes nikreis noch. A shva that is grabbed, so to say, is called noch. Kigom besof hateva, at the end of a word. This shva is not pronounced eh, it's just pronounced softly. This shva is eh, it's pronounced as a strong sound. For example, when it's found at the beginning of the word, or when it comes at a beginning of the word, or in the middle of a word after a tnua gedola. What are the examples of the tnua gedola? The simon is tnua gedola os pituche chosom. All the vowelizations in the words pituche chosom are all examples of tnua gedola. The p is the chiruk with the yud after it. The tu is a shuruk. The che is a tsere with a yud after it. The chol is the cholum sound. And the som is the example of a komatz gadol. He says, he reminds us, the chiruk has to have a yud after it. That's called the tnuah gedola. Otherwise, if it's just a chiruk alone without a yud after it, it's called the tnuah ketana. What do again we mean by the shvanoch and the shvanoch? For example, you have the word uvlechtecha vaderech. So you have underneath the chaf, lech, that's shvanoch, techa, shvanon, etc., etc., throughout the Shema and throughout the davening. One should be careful to make sure that he pronounces the shva in the proper way. Siv Chav Dalet, the Mechaber writes, Sorik Lekros Kriyashma B'Ta'omim, Kimo Shein B'Torah. The Mechaber says you should use the trop, the Psukim of Shema, or Avto, V'Hayom Shemoa, L'man Yirbu, V'Yomer, they're all Psukim from the Torah, and they all have a trop. So the Mechaber says when you read the Shema, you should read the trop as well. The Ramah qualifies this and he says, Hagah, Avolo Noagu Kein Bimedino Selu. That's not, in fact, the custom where we live in Ashkenazic Europe. Umikomakom, he says, Hamedaktikin Machmirin Bekach. But the people that are very careful in their performance of mitzvos, and especially those that want to pronounce the Shema correctly, they will say it with the trop. What do we mean by this? So the Mishneh Berurah in Siv Katan Lamed Zayin writes, Ach shetzorich li zoyer lifsok bimokom aroy lahafsik lefiyo inyan kadeshi atam vahavono ludvorov. The reason for the trop is that a person should know how to pronounce the words and where to break in the sentence and where to pause and where to go and connect different words together. Al ken yiru lekrosu benachas. So therefore, one should read it slowly. If you're not careful, you can make a tremendous travesty of the words of the Shema by reading them incorrectly. In Dirshu, footnote number 27, he brings down that if you actually were to change the meaning of the words, you actually have to repeat that part of the Shema again. And if you made a mistake in the trup, and as a result made a mistake in the content, so then he brings down from the Shulchan Atzi Shitim that you also have to go back then. So again, the purpose here of the trup is to make sure that you pronounce the words correctly. In Sivkot Lamed Ches, the Mishnah Berurah says, Ubavad Sheyachavein. Whichever way you do it, you have to be careful to think about what the words mean, not only to pronounce them correctly, but to understand them. If somebody's not fluent and very capable of reading the Shema with the trup, he's going to spend too much time and effort on pronouncing the trup and not thinking all about what the words mean. So this isn't a good idea. However, each person should know for himself the proper pronunciation, and if the trup will enhance his properly pronouncing it without ruining his kavana, that's certainly tovo olav bracha. Siv Chof Hei. Melchaber writes, "Kishiyomar ukshartom liosa yodecha, yemashmesh betfilin shayad." When you say those words about tying the tefillin on your arm, so the custom is to go and touch the tefillin on your arm. Ukshiyomar vayulato tefos bein enecha. When you say the next words, which is that there are tefillin on your forehead, bein enecha, above your forehead, actually, as we've learned that the proper placement of the tefillin, it's called bein enecha. In between your eyes, on the top of your forehead, yimashmesh b'shel rosh, you touch the shel rosh. Ukshiyomar urisem oso, when you say the words urisem oso, yimashmesh b'shtei tzitzio shel afonav. The custom is to go and kiss or to touch the two tzitzis that you have in front of you. We've already discussed this previously. The Ramah points out in Simen Chav Dalad, Seif Dalad. The Mishnah Berurah here in Sif Katan Lamites writes, whereas the Mechaber only talked about it in the first paragraph, when we say, Ukshar Tom Lios Ayodecha, so the Mishnah Berurah says, V'chein Beparsha Shnia, when the second and the end of the second paragraph, when we also mention the Tefillin, Kishamaskir Inyan Tefillin, Tzorech L'mashmesh over there as well. Dirshu footnote number 28 brings down many of these discussions that we had already previously when we discussed Tochus Tefillin about the Mishmashmesh, this touching of the Tefillin. It brings down from the Kaf HaChaim that Shelo Yimashmesh Kashe Yimashmesh Iver Blishum Lev Mitzvos Anoshim Milimuda. One shouldn't go and touch it like, yeah, this is a just touching it without thinking about it. El achar kavana saleiv hein hadvarim. One should be careful to concentrate and think what you're saying when you touch the tefillin. And that should remind you, she is korat tefillin. You remember the tefillin, or masha kosaben, and everything that the tefillin have inside of them and what they represent. And in this way, v'yishabed mocha v'libo l'akosh baruch hu. And by the touching of them, you're binding yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'yisamach shi'itronu HaKadosh Baruch Hu behen v'kidashnu b'mitzvosav. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu has crowned us with the tefillin and has given us Kedusha, he sanctified us with his mitzvos. Furthermore, he says, if you happen to have your hands near your shorosh, so we brought down previously the Rosh Hashanah Zalman says, Sha'afa pi shemi'ikar adin yesh lahaktim l'mashish v'tfilin shorosh, your hand is closer to the shorosh, so you shouldn't bypass it and touch the shoyad first. He says, if you're in a public area, don't do that because it's going to confuse people and people are going to mistakenly think that that's the right way to do it. Furthermore, he says, in that situation, you can touch a shorosh, but then touch a shorad, and then touch a shorosh again, and this way people won't be confused. He points out there is no chiyah to touch the mezuzah for various reasons that we've also discussed previously, either because it's too difficult to get up and do so, it's not next to you, it's by the wall, it's by the door, or because it's not a chova on the person, that's a chova on the house, as opposed to the tefillin and the tzitzis, which is a chova on the person. Furthermore, he brings down that many have the custom to go and touch the tefillin shoyan and the shoyosh with the hand, and then they kiss their hand. And he says, bringing down the name of the Aruch HaShulchan, that ain't no ikr, this custom really doesn't have a source for it, but he does bring down the Chayi Adam and the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, who do bring down that many have the custom to go and kiss their hand after they touch it. And he says a very interesting idea from the Piskei Sha'arim, who says that the reason behind this is when your hands touch the tefillin, so they now have Kedusha too, and therefore you're kissing your hand, it's because of the increased Kedusha over there. finally brings down the name of Shlomo Zalman, Zatzal, that he would go and touch the tefillin either with the ritzua or with his talis, and then he would kiss it. And that's what many people do when they, for example, they touch the Sefer Torah, they touch it with their talis or with their ritzua, and then they kiss it. Now we come to the final sif in this long simon, sif chavav. The Mechaber writes, Yesh noagim lekros kriya shema b'kol rom. That many they have the custom to say kriya shema out loud, in a loud voice. Yesh noagim lekros b'lachash. And others have the custom to go and read it quietly. The Ramah says, Hagah, mikol mokom, no matter what your custom is for the rest of the Shema, Yomer Pasuk Rishon b'kol rom. One should certainly say the Pasuk of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, out loud. V'chein noagim, he brings us down, this is the minog, in the name of the Kolbo. The Mishnah Berurah in Sivkot and Chavav writes, if somebody else says Kriya Shema and you hear him, can you be Yotze? If you had intention to be Yotze, so he brings down from the Mogen Avraham and the Prima Godim and the Rov Achronim, who in fact say Sovrim de Yotze Bazet. One can in fact be Yotze in this fashion. And this is in fact Odiv Zemihira. This is better. For whatever reason you can't say it, it's better than thinking it yourself to hear somebody else actually say it. The hearer, when you think it, lav kidibur domi, that's not really speaking it. Whereas when you hear it, masha ein kein bezeh, the shomea ka'one. When you hear somebody else say it, it's as if you actually said it yourself. In Dishu footnote number 29, he brings down what happens if the other person who's being yotze you has in fact already been yotze himself. So he brings down, there's a big machlokes in the tour in regarding to Hilchas Kiddush, and the Mishnah Berurah himself paskins this in Simon Reish Ayin Gimel, where he says, Nechluku aposkim legabe mishikvar yotze yidei chovas Kiddush. However, the Bir Halacha, the Mishnah Berurah, the Chofetz Chaim, and the Bir Halacha paskins la halacha b'dieved yochol lahotzi acherim b'chol ofen. If there is no other choice, and you were listening, and he had you in mind to be motzi you, you had in mind to be yotze, so then, even if the other person had already been yotze himself, you can be yotze with such a kiddush b'dieved. Finally, the Mishnah Berurah writes, because of olas atomid, this is true that you can be yotze in this fashion is only if you understand what the person is saying. And even though afilu b'loshon kodesh b'inan dafka shiyovin hashomea, even though it's in Hebrew, and normally we don't require you to understand the davening if it's said in Hebrew, it's preferable certainly, but it's not required. Here we do require you to understand it. And he says, go look in Simon kuf tzadi gimel sif aleph. The issue footnote number 30 brings down that there it's regards to Birchas Hamazon, Shaminuk Shiyotzim B'loshon HaKodesh, Af Mishenu Maven. There it says that one can be Yotzi with somebody saying the benching in Hebrew, even if you don't understand it. Afilu Dvarim Shemin HaTorah, Kamo Kiddush L'Noshim, and even something which is a series of psukim from Chumash, Mikol Mokom Yosu Tov Shiyomu Mila B'Mila Im Mishimotziyam. It would be preferable in those situations where B'Dievid you would be Yotze for the person who doesn't understand it to actually say the words himself, Mila B'Mila, with the one who's trying to be Yotziyam. And in this way, Yotzo Yidei Chovo L'Chol HaPoskim. This way he'll fulfill his obligation, even according to the Man D'Omer that says, you're not Yotze if you don't understand even the Hebrew. And then he points out this is actually preferable because it's very hard to listen to the entire Kiddush or the entire benching from someone else and not miss a word. So therefore he suggests you do this anyway. And he points out that if by Birchas HaMazon you were trying to listen and you missed a little bit, so you're not fulfilling the mitzvah properly and you're mevatel the mitzvah saseh, v'yachalta v'savatu v'irachta. And that's in fact why he points out that we don't allow people to bench for somebody else. Nagu lo latzei sidei chova b'shmias chavero. Afshu neged din, even though technically you could, so it's against the din. And he says, "V'efsha shu mishum she'en she'en bekiin lehiskaven lotzeis the lotzi dechova," because people can have very hard time having intention the entire time to be motzi somebody and for the person to hear every single word in order to be yotze. Finally, the Mishnah Berurah brings down the Knesset HaGdola in the name of the Birkas Avraham, the Davka biyochid hamotzi seyochid. Here we're talking about that when one individual is being motzi another individual. That's what we've been talking about. However, avo yochid amotzi es harabim, if an individual is bimotze an entire group, or o yochid amotzi es hashnayim bevirchas hamazon, if one person is bimotze two people, then afilu einam mivinim b'loshon hakodesh yotze, then here, if they don't understand it, they still nevertheless would be yotze. The issue footnote number 31 brings down that not everybody agrees with this. And the bottom line is, we always try to bench ourselves, we always try to be yotze ourselves in all of these brachas, because it's very difficult to make sure that you'll be hearing all the words, plus there are poskim that say that you can't be yotze if you don't understand what the words mean. The halacha Berurah brings down in regards to laning the kriyashma using the trup. He says, "Kein poshat haminog etzalat svardim the edos hamizrach." That in fact, amongst the svardim and the edos hamizrach, it is common to read the shma with the trup. In fact, many of the shuls, they all read it out loud together. He again points out, however, even if you do say it with a trup, you should make sure that you read it slowly and properly with the right pauses in between. And with this, we conclude Simen Samach Aleph, which was the halachas of Kriyat Shema, and this will lead us into tomorrow's shiur, where we'll begin to talk again about some more of the proper way that a person should say the Kriyat Shema, this great mitzvah d'oraisa that we have, which we have the wonderful opportunity to fulfill every morning and every night.